from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian President Prabowo declares Indonesia achieves food self-sufficiency in 2025. Pursuing energy independence, Indonesian government targets waste to energy in early 2026. I'm Rahmawati. Here is the news in detail. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto stated Indonesia has successfully achieved food self-sufficiency in 2025. He also affirmed the government's commitment to realizing national independence through the food sector amid global uncertainties. Anissa Audrita has the detail.
The President of the Republic of Indonesia, Prabowo Subianto, announced on Wednesday, January 7, 2026, Indonesia's success in achieving food self-sufficiency in 2025. During the grain harvest and food self-sufficiency announcement in Karawang, West Java, he emphasized the government's commitment to achieving national independence by strengthening the food and energy sectors. He stated that food independence is increasingly crucial amid global conflicts, supply chain disruptions, and geopolitical uncertainties.
Terima kasih atas kehormatan yang diberikan kepada saya.
Thank you for the honor of inviting me today to this grand harvest event and the official announcement that Indonesia has successfully returned to being a food self-sufficient nation.
Berhasil kembali menjadi bangsa yang swasembada pangan.
The National Food Agency reported that the government's rice reserve stock at Bulog reached 3,248 million tons by the end of 2025. According to Prabowo, the current government rice reserve is at the highest level in the history of the Republic of Indonesia, including compared to the era of President Suharto, which recorded a peak reserve of 2 million tons. According to the president, this achievement of self-sufficiency is the result of hard work from all elements of the government and society, especially farmers. This success is considered proof of Indonesia's ability to accelerate its food independence target while strengthening national resilience amid global challenges.
Kalau waktu saya dilantik jadi presiden,
when I was inaugurated as a president, I indeed set a four-year target for rice self-sufficiency. For food self-sufficiency, thank you for the entire agriculture community in Indonesia. You work hard, you united, you were cohesive. You produce what you gave to the nation and state in 4 years. In 1 year, we have achieved self-sufficiency. In 1 year, we have already standing on our own feet.
Prabowo aims for the sustainability of self-sufficiency not only in rice, but also in other food commodities, as well as meeting national protein needs to improve people's welfare and strengthen Indonesia's future. Anissa Audrita, Voice of Indonesia.
President Prabowo Subianto reported the achievements of the Free Nutritious Meal Program during the year opening briefing to the red and white cabinet members at his residence in Hambalang, Bogor Regency, West Java on Tuesday. The program is reported to have reached 55 million beneficiaries since its launch. Nur Kamila has the details.
President Prabowo Subianto outlined the progress of the free nutritious meal program while delivering the year opening briefing in Hambalang, Bogor on Tuesday. Launched on January 2025, the program targets school children and pregnant mothers, aiming to address issue of nutritional deficiency, malnutrition, and stunting. In his presentation, the president stated that the number of beneficiaries had reached tens of million by January 2026.
Dan kita canangkan makan bergizi ini, kita mulai dengan 6.
We launched this nutritious meal program starting it on the 6th of January 2025. Today is January 6, 2026 and he has been reported to me that we have reached 55 million beneficiaries to date.
55 juta. Penerima manfaat.
The president also reaffirmed the government's commitment to achieving zero defect or a flawless condition in the program implementation.
Kita bersyukur bahwa
we are grateful that if we study the statistic objectively, it can be said we are 99.99% successful. So, colleges, of course, we hope for zero defect. That is what we must achieve.
Tentunya kita harapkan zero defect. Itu yang harus kita capai.
Furthermore, Prabowo emphasized that the free nutritious meal program is not merely a social program, but a tangible manifestation of the state present in addressing the fundamental problem of the people, particularly hunger and poverty. Nur Kamila, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government is realizing its downstream and energy independence agenda in early 2026. A total of 18 downstream projects will be implemented gradually from January to March. One of them is the Waste to Energy project, whose initial phase was launched in November 2025. The full report will be presented by Dika Dean Ananda.
On Wednesday, State Secretary Minister Prasetyo Hadi revealed that the Indonesian government will execute a total of 18 downstream programs to be carried out gradually in the first 3 months of this year. This was announced during the New Year briefing with the President of Indonesia and other cabinet members in Bogor, West Java.
Sebagaimana dilaporkan oleh Menteri Investasi sekaligus CEO,
as reported by the Minister of Investment, who is also the CEO of Danantara, several implementation projects are ready and groundbreaking for approximately 18 agreed-upon projects will commence this January. These projects were agreed upon in several limited meetings with the President and related ministries.
Sudah disepakati di dalam beberapa kali rapat terbatas bersama dengan Bapak Presiden dan kementerian terkait.
The Waste to Energy project, whose initial phase was launched in November 2025, is one of the priorities for implementing the early year downstream program. This program is planned to be built across 34 points in regencies and cities with critical waste burdens exceeding 1000 tons per day.
Berkenaan dengan Waste to Energy yang akan dibangun di 34.
Regarding the waste to energy to be built in 34 regencies and cities or at 34 points where daily waste currently exceeds 1,000 tons, this requires immediate handling for processing so that the waste does not pile up and cause many problems.
Untuk diolah sehingga sampah-sampah tersebut tidak menggunung dan menimbulkan banyak masalah.
The government views the waste crisis as an opportunity to achieve energy self-sufficiency through the development of new and renewable energy. The Waste to Energy program is expected to be a dual solution, addressing waste problems while contributing to national energy security. Dika Dean Ananda, Voice of Indonesia.
Moving on to the Indonesian Sea and Coast Guard or Bakamla RI that continues to strengthen its position as a driving force for maritime security stability in Southeast Asia. As it marks its 20th year, collaboration through the ASEAN Coast Guard Forum has become Indonesia's primary strategy in facing increasingly complex global maritime challenges. Kiki Purba has the full report.
Setiap negara sudah sama kita pemikirannya bahwa laut dan keamanan laut, keselamatan ini tidak bisa ditangani sendirian di satu negara saja.
In an effort to strengthen stability in regional water, the Indonesian Sea and Coast Guard, Bakamla RI, is actively initiating technical cooperations with the Coast Guard of neighboring countries. in a statement delivered in Jakarta on Wednesday. The head of Coast Guard, Irvansa, emphasized that current maritime security challenges can no longer be handled independently by any single nation. Therefore, establishing a communication forum among Coast Guard is a crucial step for the future of ASEAN's maritime domain.
Kemudian ada di ASEAN sendiri, di regional, Bakamla RI yang menginisiasi.
Then, within ASEAN itself in the region, it was Bakamla that initiated to form what is called the ASEAN Coast Guard Forum. We hope all Coast Guards in ASEAN will unite, become cohesive, because every country now shares the same understanding that the sea, maritime security and safety cannot be handled alone by just one country. We must be united, cohesive, and be able to provide security and comfort at sea, especially in our region.
Keamanan dan kenyamanan di laut, khususnya di regional kita.
This effort to enhance maritime security are expected to provide a sense of comfort and confidence for business actors and the younger generation that Indonesian seas are safe and hold vast economy opportunities. With a spirit of togetherness at the regional level, Bakamla is committed to continuously safeguarding security in Indonesian and surrounding waters. This proactive step is hoped to ensure maritime safety for all countries in the region for shared prosperity. Kiki Purba, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia continues to strengthen cultural cooperation with the Netherlands as part of the bilateral relations between the two countries. A key focus is the recovery of cultural heritage through repatriation programs. Rizka Fadila has the detail.
The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Culture, is committed to strengthening cultural cooperation with the Netherlands, particularly in enhancing cultural diplomacy. This commitment was conveyed by Minister of Culture Fadlizon after a meeting with the Ambassador of the Republic of Indonesia to the Netherlands, Amri Jinangkung, on Thursday in Jakarta. Fadlizon stated that one of the main programs being continuously pushed is the repatriation of artifacts and cultural objects. Fadlizon revealed that Indonesia has just received 28,131 fossils from the Eugène Dubois collection that was taken to the Netherlands over 130 years ago. He hoped the remainder of that collection can be returned gradually this year.
We have a long-standing relationship with the Netherlands, and among programs at the Ministry of Culture related to the Netherlands is the repatriation program. This repatriation program aims to return a number of artifacts, cultural objects that were taken during the colonial era, and we hope that the rest of this collection will be returned within this year.
Koleksi selebihnya ini akan kembali.
Fadlizon assessed that the government of the Netherlands has so far shown a cooperative and open attitude in cultural cooperation. He hoped such collaboration can continue to be strengthened to build mutual understanding between nations, deepen shared understanding, and advance Indonesian national culture with world civilization.
Kerajaan Belanda.
The Kingdom of the Netherlands, which has also been very cooperative, very good, and we can carry out cultural cooperation as a bridge for mutual understanding between nations, mutual understanding and mutual advancement, especially for Indonesian national culture within this civilization.
Indonesia di tengah peradaban.
Indonesia and the Netherlands have forged a long-standing partnership in recovering colonial-era cultural heritage. Beyond the repatriation of artifacts and fossils from the Eugène Dubois collection, this collaboration also includes research, digitalization of cultural objects, capacity building for researchers, promotion of Indonesian culture through the Indonesian House Amsterdam, as well as cooperation in the film, music, performing arts, and literature sectors. Rizka Fadila reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian authorities have dismantled an international drug syndicate that was smuggling narcotics, including ecstasy and etomidate, disguised within vape liquids and energy drinks assets. Rama Shidki Pratama has the detail.
The National Narcotics Agency, or BNN, has successfully uncovered an international illicit drug trafficking network employing a new method. In a joint operation with the Director General of Customs and Excise and the Director General of Immigration, it was revealed that the suspects disguised ecstasy and etomidate narcotics within vape liquid and sachet energy drink packaging. Acting Deputy for Eradication at the agency, Budi Wibowo, stated in Jakarta on Tuesday, January 6th, that this network is estimated to be capable of producing thousands of vape liquid cartridges. Based on seized evidence, this operation has the potential to save tens of thousands of people from drug abuse.
On average, one cartridge can be used by 4 to 5 people. This means that through these activities, we have successfully saved approximately 50,000 members of the nation's generation.
This disclosure originated from a Christmas and New Year operation at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Tangerang, Banten, which involved inspecting the belongings of a passenger from Malaysia. The investigation led to a raid on a warehouse in North Jakarta, where the two narcotics were mixed and packaged. Budi mentioned the possibility that this network was targeting specific groups, particularly vape users.
Ada rentang cluster kelompok tertentu yang menjadi sasaran mereka.
There is a specific cluster or group being targeted. Primarily, they target vape enthusiasts and users. Of course, our survey results shows that more and more of our children, our generation, are consuming vape as an alternative to conventional cigarettes, considering it's part of a trend.
Mengkonsumsi vape sebagai alternatif daripada rokok konvensional.
Further investigation also revealed the involvement of two Chinese nationals and one Indonesian national, who are now on the wanted persons list. According to Indonesian law, members of this network could face penalties ranging from 5 years of imprisonment to the death penalty. Ramasitki Pratama, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian football analyst Muhammad Kusnaini has welcomed the decision by Indonesian Football Association, or PSSI, to appoint former Canadian national team coach John Hartman as the new head coach of the Indonesian national team. He stated this on the VOI Talk program with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday. Kusnaini believes the football management that Hartman brings is clear and well-structured, something Indonesia urgently needs at the moment. He referred to the improvement of the Canadian national team, which became more efficient and structured under Hartman's leadership.
When he led national team of Canada, he has also the same problem with our national team. Canada never qualified to the World Cup. All, same with us. But with his leadership, with his program, with his football philosophy, he can make Canada make major change. Major change not only in terms of achievement, but also in terms of football philosophy. Canada become more efficient team, more powerful team, and also more structured team.
John Hartman previously coached the Canadian men's national team from 2018 to 2023, successfully leading them to qualify for the FIFA World Cup 2022 after a 36-year absence. Hartman was appointed as the head coach of the Indonesian national team last Saturday, replacing the Dutch coach Patrick Kluivert. We end the news with the National Disaster Management Agency of Indonesia, or BNPB, that reported on Tuesday several disaster-affected areas on the island of Sumatra have begun entering the emergency transition phase. However, parts of Aceh are still under an extended state of emergency response status. Raditya Arif Putra Setiawan has the detail.
The National Disaster Management Agency, or BNPB, provided an update on the disaster response effort in the Sumatra region in a statement issued on Tuesday, January 6th. 2026. The head of the agency's Data, Information and Disaster Communication Center, Abdul Muhari, stated that all regencies and cities in North Sumatra and West Sumatra have now officially shifted to state of emergency transition, allowing initial recovery processes to commence.
untuk
For North Sumatra, all areas have now shifted to emergency transition, and the same applies to West Sumatra. Previously, West Sumatra still had one regency under the emergency response status, namely Agam Regency. As of today, Agam Regency has declared its entry into emergency transition status.
Kabupaten Agam sudah menetapkan masuk ke status transisi darurat.
Meanwhile, a different situation is occurring in Aceh Province. Out of a total of 18 affected regencies and cities, 9 regions are still under an extended period of emergency response, while the other 9 have entered the emergency transition phase. The government hoped that after the provincial level state of emergency response and all area of Aceh can promptly follow the initial recovery steps already underway in North Sumatra and West Sumatra.
There are 9 regencies and cities in Aceh Province still in the extended emergency response phase. Then the number of affected regencies and cities that have entered the transition phase from the 18 total has increased to 9, with East Aceh being the latest addition. Therefore, we hope this shift from emergency response to emergency transition will be followed by other regencies and cities once their extended emergency response periods conclude. As for the provincial status itself, it remains under the state of emergency response until January 8th.
Ini masih dalam status tanggap darurat hingga 8 Januari.
The National Disaster Management Agency assures that the recovery process is ongoing. Efforts include repairing road and bridge access, cleaning affected areas, and optimizing the distribution of logistics. The government has also prepared temporary shelters, permanent housing, and housing waiting funds for the disaster-affected communities. Raditya Arif Putra Setiawan, Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it concludes today's news bulletin from Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Any child around us might be a victim of bullying. They are hidden in plain sight because there are no apparent signs, and they are reluctant to seek help from adults. So, how do adults, especially parents and teachers, build trust so a bullying victim might want to open up? Here is the opinion of a psychologist at the Faculty of Psychology, Universitas Negeri Jakarta, Dr. Zarina Akbar.
Yeah. When it happened to our students, when it happened to our child, what we supposed to do? First, stay calm and create a safety for our children or our students. We need or we supposed to provide a safe and calm environment. We need to validate the child's feeling first. The most important thing is how to build the trust in here, to trust that they can share their story, they can share what they're feeling, what happened to them actually. Second, we listen without judgment. We listen without judgment. So children often feel disappointed because like we as an adult, parents or teachers, like somehow like we avoid quickly give us some advice or give punishment, right? So try to listen what they're talking, what they're sharing without judgment. And the third, document everything, keep track of the names, date, screenshot, for example, like in cyberbullying cases, everything they talk or share to us, that we keep document everything. And the most important things, they collaborate with the school, for example. Collaborate with school is very, very important in here, with the teacher, with the school principal, to coordinate about these things and monitor their emotional and also their health condition. I think that's this kind What can we do when we detect this sign happen to our child or to our students? Yeah.
You can listen to the full VOI talk on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Wajahmu di layar ku tetap bersyukur saat engkau terjaga. Aku kan ada di sana, sempatkan bermain dan bawakan cenderamata. 1-5 tahun cepat tak terasa, segala hal ku untuk melindungi. Tunggu aku kembali lagi esok pagi. Tumbuh lebih baik, cari panggilanmu, jadi lebih baik dibanding diriku. Untuk sementara ini aku mengembara jauh. Saat dewasa kau kan mengerti. Saat engkau dewasa dan aku kian menua, jika aku berpulang lebih awal tidak apa. Berjumpa lagi di sana aku tetap sama. Saat engkau teringat dengan kita mana kalah. Maaf atas berjalan tidak sempurna, namun percayalah untukmu ku jual dunia. Segala hal ku bayarkan untuk melindungi. Tunggu aku kembali lagi esok pagi.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services, English, French, German,
Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
To the pristine beauty of Indonesia, where every path leads you to unspoiled beaches and natural wonders. Let's join hands to maintain clean and inviting surroundings that welcome us at every turn. Together, we ensure that the breathtaking landscapes Indonesia is framed for remain enchanting for generations to come.
Gandeng tangan berdua nyanyikan lagu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak an Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is
Di Bau Bau. Di Bau Bau.
Which means in Bau Bau. You will listen to a conversation about
Why? Why?
Which means?
Mengapa? Mengapa?
Chris, a vlogger from Australia, was talking to a tenun or woven cloth crest woman in Bau Bau. Chris asked why many women in Bau Bau are very skilled in making tenun or woven cloth. Let's listen to their conversations.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Menenun menjadi tradisi bagi perempuan Buton. Kami percaya menenun akan membawa kebaikan bagi keluarga.
Well, after listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, why, which means
Mengapa? Mengapa?
We will say it two times slowly and please repeat it after us.
Saya. Saya.
Which means I.
Mengapa. Mengapa.
Which means why.
Banyak. Banyak.
Which means many.
Perempuan. Perempuan.
Which means women.
Pandai. Pandai.
Which means to be skilled or good at.
Menenun. Menenun.
Which means weaving or making woven cloth.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun? Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Which means, why are many women here skilled in weaving?
Tradisi. Tradisi.
Which means tradition.
Percaya. Percaya.
Which means believe.
Membawa. Membawa.
Which means bring.
Kebaikan. Kebaikan.
Which means goodness.
Bagi. Bagi.
Which means for.
Keluarga. Keluarga.
Which means family. In this conversation, you hear the expression,
mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun? Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Which means, why are many women here skilled in weaving? In the expression, there is the word,
mengapa? Mengapa?
Which means why, is used to ask for the reason or explanations about something. The phrase,
bagaimana ceritanya? Bagaimana ceritanya?
Is actually asking about the story behind something. Let's listen to another example of using
mengapa? Mengapa?
Which means why.
Mengapa masyarakat Buton gemar makan ikan? Mengapa masyarakat Buton gemar makan ikan?
Which means why do the people of Buton like to eat fish?
Mengapa harga kain tenun kamuhu mahal? Mengapa harga kain tenun kamuhu mahal?
Which means why is kamuhu tenun cloth expensive? Kamuhu is a woven cloth from Buton Island, Southeast Sulawesi. Kamuhu is an intangible cultural heritage from Indonesia. On the other hand, there are many variations of woven cloth across Indonesia, such as terfol from Papua, pandai sikek from West Sumatra, ulos from North Sumatra, and endek from Bali. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Menenun menjadi tradisi bagi perempuan Buton. Kami percaya menenun akan membawa kebaikan bagi keluarga.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about
mengapa? Mengapa?
Which means why. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. I'm Daniel and my colleague
Ranov.
Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Waktu Lawang Beach is a tourism attraction located in Tepus Village, Tepun District, Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. The beach area is one of the tourism attractions on the south coast. This beach has beautiful white sand and a camping place facing the sea. The location of Waktu Lawang Beach is about 67 km from the city center of the special region of Yogyakarta. Waktu Lawang Beach is not so popular as the beaches in the Gunung Kidul area. Waktu Lawang Beach is still quiet and you can freely seek tranquility here. In the hills, visitors can also set up tents so that from a height, they can enjoy the view of a Waktu Lawang Beach with its beautiful waves. The name Waktu Lawang in the local language, Waktu means stone and Lawang means door. This is because there is a stone in the shape of a door at the mouth of a cave on this beach. Listeners, before reaching the beach, you will pass through a street with a beautiful view, like a green rice field. So, the beauty of Waktu Lawang Beach can be felt not only when you arrive at the beach, but also when heading there. Waktu Lawang Beach is located in a very strategic place.
because around it there are many other beaches, such as Skoli Beach, Pulang Sawal Beach, and others. So beach and oceans lovers are guaranteed to be satisfied if they play on Waktu Lawang Beach. In the hills, visitors can also set up tents from a hike, and they can enjoy the view of Waktu Lawang Beach with its beautiful wave. On Waktu Lawang Beach, there is also a large camping area so that you can stay while listening to the sound of the wave that calm your heart and mind. There are several things that must be considered when going on vacations to Waktu Lawang Beach, so that your vacation is memorable. Such as bringing foods and drinks, bringing your own tent if you want to camp on this beach. Don't play in the sea or swim too far in the middle if the waves are high. Please comply with the regulations that have been set by the management to avoid unwanted things. In addition, don't forget to bring gadgets to take pictures at the spots that have been provided by the management. And that's today's edition of Indonesian Wonder.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today's edition, I'm going to present to you a Kahitna, a group of music from Bandung. Kahitna was formed on June 24, 1986. Currently, the group initiated by Yofi Widianto has three vocalists, namely Carlos Sabah, Hedi Yunus, and Mario Ginanjar. The typical character of Kahitna is their music arrangement that combines jazz, pop, fusion, Latin, and ethnic. While their songs are mostly about love with romantic lyrics, just like their hits Cerita Cinta or Love Story. Cerita Cinta was about the early story of two lovers when they just met until they shared the same feelings and decided to be together. Well, listener, here is Cerita Cinta by Kahitna. Enjoy!
Apabila